You are listening to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. Hello and welcome to this week's episode, Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. This is a special episode. This is a special episode that will concentrate on the violence towards law enforcement officers and the injustices taking place in the war on cops. Normally, if you listen to this program, you know that I do a memorial for all of those law enforcement officers who were killed in the line of duty the previous week. We're going to change that format up today because I'm going to read those names now. We're going to begin the program because, unfortunately, I have four more names to read just this week. The violence towards law enforcement is not only continuing, it is increasing. And the next four names you're going to hear have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the service to their country and their communities. The first is Corporal Shane Toddy of the Baton Rouge Police Department in Louisiana. Corporal Shane Toddy was killed in a motorcycle crash in the 6400 block of Jones Creek Road while escorting a funeral procession. His motorcycle collided with another vehicle that pulled out in front of him at approximately 2:40 p.m. Bystanders and responding officers performed CPR before he was transported to a local hospital where he succumbed to his injuries a short time later. Corporal Toddy had only returned to full duty several months earlier, after being shot in the face by a mental subject in February of 2018. Corporal Toddy had served with the Baton Rouge Police Department for 4.5 years. He is survived by his wife and young child. Corporal Shane Toddy, Baton Rouge Police Department, Louisiana. End of watch, Friday, February 1st, 2019. The second is Border Patrol Agent Donna Doss of the United States Department of Homeland Security. Border Patrol Agent Donna Doss was struck and killed by a vehicle on the South Service Road of I-20 near mile marker 278 near Merkel, Texas. She had been responded to the location to assist a Texas Department of Public Safety trooper to determine the status of a subject believed to be in the company of this country illegally. Agent Doss has served the United States Border Patrol for 16 years and was assigned to the Del Rio sector. She is survived by her husband, two stepsons, parents, brother, and sister. Border Patrol Agent Donna Doss, United States Department of Homeland Security. End of watch, Saturday, February 2nd, 2019. The third is Detective William Brewer of the Claremont County Sheriff's Office in Ohio. Detective Bill Brewer was shot and killed after responding to a call from a suicidal man armed with a gun at an apartment complex at 368 St. Andrews Drive in Pierce Township. Shortly before 7 p.m., the Claremont County Sheriff's Office received a call from the man who initially stated that someone had broken into his home. The same man later told 911 dispatchers that he was suicidal and armed with a gun. When officers arrived, they couldn't contact the man who had barricaded himself inside his apartment. Several minutes later, the man fired several shots, prompting officers from several agencies to respond and begin to negotiate with him. At 10:30 p.m., the man again opened fire from his apartment. The shots struck and killed Detective Brewer and wounded a second deputy. The man was taken into custody inside of the apartment by members of the SWAT team a short time later. Detective Brewer had served with the Claremont Sheriff's Office for 20 years. He is survived by his wife, 5-year-old son. Detective William Brewer, Claremont County Sheriff's Office, Ohio. End of watch, February 2nd, 2019. Trooper Lucas B. Dowell of the Virginia State Police. Trooper Lucas Dowell was shot and killed as he and other members of the Virginia State Police's tactical team made entry into a home to secure it for a search warrant as part of a narcotics investigation. The team was assisting members of the Piedmont Regional Drug and Gang Task Force serve the search warrant at a home in the 1500 block of Cumberland Road, just outside the Farmville town limits in Cumberland County. The occupant inside opened fire on the officers inside of the home, fatally wounding Trooper Dowell. Two other members of the tactical team returned fire, killed the suspect. Trooper Dowell was transported to the Southside Community Hospital, where he succumbed to his wounds. Trooper Dowell had served with the Virginia State Police for 4 years and was assigned to the Appomattox Division. He is survived by his parents and his sister. Trooper Lucas B. Dowell, Virginia State Police, end of watch, Monday, February 4th, 2019. Just minutes prior to this broadcast, I received information that yet another law enforcement officer was killed, murdered in the line of duty. The as yet unidentified officer served with the Milwaukee Police Department. He was serving a search warrant when he was shot and killed. He is the third Milwaukee police officer to die in the line of duty in just 8 months. So far this year, and we have just entered the second month of the year, 15 law enforcement officers have lost their lives in the line of duty. 150 last year. What is taking place in this country that law enforcement officers are losing their lives at this tremendous rate? Mostly due to violence. And we're not even talking about the shootings, the beatings, the stabbings, and the other violent activities that are taking place, which are ending police officers' careers because of their substantial injuries and also affecting their lives forever. You know, it's interesting because there has been so much talk, so many media outbursts, if you will, so many social activists and politicians and media people all claiming that the law enforcement officers of this country are using force excessively, are gunning down people for no reason. And yet, this narrative has been proven to be false over and over and over again. I want to talk to you about an article that just came out. It was written by Bernard Kerik. Bernard Kerik was the police commissioner from the city of New York under Rudy Giuliani. Bernie Kerik is a self-made true police leader. He is an expert when it comes down to understanding criminal patterns and the big picture. He just came out with an article. I'm going to read some of it to you. It will demonstrate what the realities are and not what the hype is all about. For the race baiters, cop haters, Hollywood elite, and anti-American left-wing socialist communist lunatics, the 2018 statistics are in for suspects shot and killed by the American police, and they're not going to be happy. Before we get into the numbers, consider that out of the 350 million people in the United States today, there are about 800,000 local state law enforcement officers who on an annual basis interact with the American public 4 or 5 times more than they actually affect arrests. For example, in 2017, approximately 10 million people were arrested in the United States. When you consider police public interactions, that number could be as high as 30 to 50 million interactions for that year. Although the 2018 arrest numbers are not yet available, I would bet that they will be close to the 2017 statistics. That said, there are some extremely important statistics that have been collected and analyzed by the Washington Post titled Fatal Force. The Post has maintained an extremely accurate account of people shot and killed by America's police dating back to 2015. And according to their reporting, last year, in 2018, 995 people were shot and killed by police, the lowest number since 2015 when they began collecting and reporting this data publicly. So here's the data breakdown. Of the 995 people shot and killed by the police, 403 were white, 210 were black, 148 were Hispanic, 38 were classified as other, and 199 were classified as unknown. Now, out of that total, 47 were unarmed, 23 were white, 17 black, 5 were Hispanic, and 2 were unknown. So out of the 30 to 50 million interactions that the police had with the American public last year, 10 million people were arrested, and less than 0.01% were shot and killed by the police. Out of those 10 million people arrested, 47 of those were shot and killed were unarmed, which equates to 0.00047%, 17 of which were black. Remarkably, for the race-baiting, cop-hating, left-wing propagandists that promote the social theory that all police officers are relentlessly targeting and gunning down unarmed people of color, these statistics prove those claims could not be farther from the truth. The reality is that out of the 10 million arrests made last year in the United States, 17 black people were shot and killed by the police who were unarmed. Members of the Congress, governors, mayors, Hollywood elite, and the left-wing mainstream media outlets have gone out of their way to demonize the police with their false, misleading, and inciting claims, yet have ignored the violence and murder rates in cities like Baltimore, Chicago, Milwaukee, and others. Could it be that they are just ignorant to the real facts? Or is it that they just don't give a damn about the truth, and their rhetoric is strictly left-wing political propaganda meant to destroy community police relations? See, instead of focusing their negativity on some of the best-trained police officers in the world, perhaps they should focus on the communities of color, where young black men and women are being slaughtered by black-on-black violent crime. Perhaps they should focus on the poverty-stricken communities beset by violent crime and murder, where no one wants to build new businesses, work, go to school, or visit, where no one feels safe. The police are not the enemy. And for those that have made it a habit of attacking them with these false claims, society would be better served if they would focus on communities where black and black crime is murdering our young, destroying our country, and creating racial tensions that should not be. That was an article written by Bernard Kerik. I don't think anything could be more right on than that. And what is actually taking place is that we are seeing the ramifications of the vilification of law enforcement officers that is taking place and has been taking place for approximately the last 10 years. We found a watershed moment when the events of Ferguson took place and began the false narrative of hands up, don't shoot. Instead of coming to the realization that many of these claims have been false, we are seeing an entirely different narrative taking place, and that is the continued assault on law enforcement by the media, by politicians, by activists who perpetuate this incredibly damaging narrative that is simply not true. And what is taking place now is that violence towards law enforcement is increasing while law enforcement officers themselves are using less and less force, even when it is appropriate to use more. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. I want to tell you about a really interesting company that has a nationwide security presence. It's called offdutypoliceofficers.com. It's actually law enforcement specialists, but you can check them out at offdutypoliceofficers.com. They have a very unique approach to providing security to commercial establishments, residential, any security need that you might have, because they use actual sworn officers. So if you are a police officer or deputy in this country and you want to work extra jobs, as most do, usually you go through your department. This company, offdutypoliceofficers.com, is their website, law enforcement specialists, actually makes arrangements so that you can work those off-duty jobs, and they work in concert with your agency. It's a great opportunity, and also they have a great presence in almost every state in the union. So, law enforcement specialists, if you are a law enforcement officer and you want to work extra jobs, contact them, offdutypoliceofficers.com. If you have a security need, if you are a commercial establishment, if you are a construction company and you need traffic jobs, contact them. They have the personnel. They are trained. They are law enforcement officers, and they have all the abilities to provide all of your security needs. And they are a great company. They're based out of Arizona, but they're all over the country. Offdutypoliceofficers.com, and it's law enforcement specialists. You can also contact them by phone, 888-572-2442. It's 888-572-2442. If you're a law enforcement officer and you know that wearing body armor, besides being uncomfortable, sometimes can get a little odoriferous, if you will. Wearing that gets sweaty, gets hot. It's difficult sometimes to find the right deodorizer that works, that is natural, that will take care of business. And there's a great product on the market, and it's Arrest My Vest Spray. And it's military police grade odor eliminating spray. Now, you don't have to just use it on vests. It's good for all kinds of clothing items. Arrest My Vest Spray. Now, where do you get it? StinkyVest.com. Of course, StinkyVest.com. And they've got this great product. I highly suggest it. It's not expensive. It works really well. And what it does is it eliminates odors through absorbing molecules, odor-absorbing molecule. Doesn't use harmful chemicals, and it's great for pets. It's great for all your clothing items. So check it out, StinkyVest.com, Arrest My Vest Spray. Check it out, StinkyVest.com.
I'd like you to meet Susan Price, Gold Star mother and weekly columnist on America Out Loud. Susan, as a Gold Star mom, what does patriotism mean to you?
Taking part in America at a larger scale of all the issues taking place today. Our blood is red, white, and blue. Patriotism to me means taking a stand and let your voice be heard.
Speaking of which, there's an old saying that you either get involved in politics or politics will get involved with you. So when we say, let the silent voices be heard, how do we turn the tide of ignorance in the world today?
Wow, and how profound is that? We get out there, we let our voices be heard, we educate our children.
As a weekly columnist on America Out Loud, Susan, you're sort of like an investigative reporter. Or sometimes we call that in the business, like a dog with a bone. So what is your ultimate goal with your weekly column on America Out Loud?
The one goal that I have in mind is to rise the consciousness of the subject at hand, especially those who are clueless and have no idea that there is a problem in the first place. That's making a difference.
Our goal is simple. to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. It's to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to this special episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, where the topic is violence towards the American law enforcement officer. You know, I read you four names of officers who were killed just this week. I'm almost speechless when I tell you that one of the officers who was killed just this week, Detective Brewer, who is a 20-year veteran of the Claremont Sheriff's Office, that an individual went to a monument that was put up to him. It was a monument that was put up to this officer by the public and by other police officers. And it was vandalized. An individual actually came up and ripped down what members of the public and police put up to honor this man. This is beyond horrific. This is disgusting. And it shows the incredible lack of compassion and empathy for law enforcement, even when they give their lives serving their people. This is not the first time that a monument or a memorial to law enforcement has been defaced. In fact, there have been countless similar There have been countless similar incidents over the last several years. Law enforcement officers that continually give of themselves, that continually serve each day, are very cognizant of the fact that violence is a way of life for them. They understand that they may be forced to either give life or take life. And they also understand that their lives may be forfeit in the process. But we as the American public owe them. We owe them not only our respect, but we owe them the empathy and the compassion to assist them in not only surviving their careers, but believing that the public that they serve understands and believes in them. As we see the degradation of the law enforcement officers in the media and in the press, I mean, let's just look at the Super Bowl. I honestly would rather get a colonoscopy than watch a football game anymore, because the NFL so disgusts me. This whole issue involving Colin Kaepernick and this issue that even came up and has become so much a part now of the normal conversation for this Super Bowl, because artists refuse to take part in the halftime because they want to support Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick's entire premise is based on lies. The entire drama of the law enforcement community out purposefully targeting black males and killing them is nothing but a made-up lie. And so when this becomes a part of the national discussion, those that are so vocal, those that are playing such a venomous role in perpetuating this narrative, don't have the facts and don't care about the facts. I wish that I could sit and talk to Colin Kaepernick, simply man to man and face to face, and have a discussion with him about the realities. I understand that when a police shooting takes place, whether it is in any community, that it can invoke a lot of emotion. Of course, no one that takes the job and puts on that badge goes out to kill. Self-preservation, preservation of the lives of others, is the reason that people use deadly force when they are working as a law enforcement officer. Now, here's the other part of this narrative. Until the police agencies and the government take this issue seriously and provide law enforcement with adequate training, adequate self-defense mechanisms, which include low lethality weapons such as tasers, pepper spray, beanbag guns, and the other technological advances that have been made in recent years. Unless those officers are given the opportunity to use lower lethal force, and when they do have to resort to deadly force, those options are taken off the table. How can we, as a civilization, then go and vilify them? Not only vilify publicly, but prosecute them. There has been an increase in the persecution by prosecution of law enforcement officers all over this country. You're seeing district attorneys getting elected on a platform that is anti-law enforcement. You're seeing politicians who play a very important role in the justice system being elected on anti-law enforcement platforms. You're seeing judges who, instead of judging the law by the law, are taking activist stances that are anti-law enforcement. This is the perfect storm for creating an environment where the American public is going to suffer. Now, why do I say that? What are the ramifications of all of this taking place? First of all, police officers quitting. I've never seen so many resignations, early retirements, and just downright, I've had it, I'm leaving, issues taking place in law enforcement. When you have police agencies that simply cannot have enough officers on patrol to even handle their calls for service, this becomes a danger to the American public. And this is happening in cities all over the country. So you have officers who are resigning, officers who are retiring early, officers who are simply quitting. And then you have, on the other side of that coin, an inability to inspire younger people to come and join the ranks of law enforcement. So recruitment becomes a serious issue. I remember when I took my first police test, it was for a small town. There was one opening, and there were hundreds of applicants for that one opening. And believe me, we weren't getting paid a lot of money at the time. But it showed that there was this interest, that there was a desire to serve. When I left that police department and I joined a much larger department, Las Vegas Police, there were quite literally thousands of applicants for the 100 or so jobs that were going to be filled. And this was the way it was in all major cities. Now we're seeing a chronic shortage of applicants. And those applicants that are applying for the position, many are not acceptable because of background investigations, because of drug use, because of issues in their past that preclude them from joining. So you have cops quitting, not enough people looking for the job to fill the ranks, and a shrinking population of law enforcement. When you take that into consideration, and then you add into this mix the morale issues that are facing these officers, you are in the middle of a perfect storm of public safety crisis. There was just an article that came out in Nashville about Nashville police officers making so many fewer traffic stops that it is affecting the budget of the police department. And the city council is asking, well, why is there this issue? And they it's like they're burying their heads in the sand. In Nashville, at this moment, right now, you have an anti-law enforcement district attorney who is prosecuting a police officer for murder, for shooting a suspect armed with a handgun who pointed the gun at the officer. This district attorney had to go shopping for a judge to get a warrant, because he brought what he believed was the evidence to a number of judges who said there's no evidence here. But he finally found a tame judge to do his bidding. And now a police officer in Nashville is now fighting for his life in the court system because he shot and killed an armed suspect. and you have the chief of police in that same community, who instead of going out and fighting for his officer, accepts this district attorney and has proven himself over and over again to be a political hack. And now the city council wonders, why are my cops not doing anything? This type of crisis is taking place in major cities all over the United States. I have contact with police officers all over the country. I literally have hundreds of interactions per month from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I have never seen on a nationwide basis morale at the point where it is now. Quite honestly, it frightens me. It frightens me because the law enforcement community as a whole is made up of some of the most honorable people of courage and integrity that exist anywhere in this country. They're deep believers in what they do. They're deep believers in protecting their community. They're deep believers in what the badge means and everything that goes along with it. With honor, with sacrifice, patriotism. And instead of being heralded for their accomplishments, for their sacrifice, you have quite the opposite taking place. You have the politicians railing against them, willing to use their governmental power against them. In fact, let's look at what's going on in the state of New Hampshire. I spoke about it a couple weeks ago, but I still have to shake my head. The state legislature in the state of New Hampshire is trying to remove the part of the law that allows officers to use deadly force when their lives are threatened. It's almost hard to conceive that this is the only state in the union that has ever taken such a radical approach to remove the law itself that allows police officers to use deadly force. How frightening is this? Now, if you're a New Hampshire cop, why in God's name would you go out and serve when your life is valueless to the people who are running the state? They are basically saying, we don't care about you. We don't care if you live or die, as long as you don't kill anybody else. This is, I am afraid, just one more step in the nationwide war on cops. Now, I have often talked about the war on cops, and I tell you that it is not just the physical assaults. Even though we are seeing that increasing and increasing and increasing. In fact, just several days ago, incendiary devices were discovered in the Eugene, Oregon Police Department. Someone went in and placed incendiary devices into a police station. Now, what does that remind you of? Well, it reminds me of Afghanistan. It reminds me of terrorist activities in Iraq and terrorist activities around the world. This is the type of violence. You probably didn't even hear about it because it made local news, but it didn't make national news. Why not? How can it be possible that a terrorist attack, which is exactly what it was, on an American police station would not be reported on national news? What does that tell you about the environment Did you hear about the Hewitt, Texas police officer who was shot yesterday responding to a bank robbery? I'll bet you didn't. Did you hear about any of the other police officers who were shot just this week in various parts of this country? I would bet you didn't. Did you hear about all of the police officers who were killed just this month? All 15 of them. I would bet you didn't. And this is all part of a environment that is sucking the life out of the American law enforcement officer. Law enforcement leadership is silent. In fact, in Houston, last week, four police officers were shot. Two seriously injured. The police union leader came out publicly. And in an emotional address to the media, he called out those who would kill and injure law enforcement officers. He pulled no punches. In this very emotional press conference, he gave his views, and I can guarantee you they were the views that were understood and appreciated by law enforcement officers all over this country. And you know what happened? His chief, a guy named Art Avecito, instead of coming out and supporting his people, he came out with this politically correct, nauseating, disgusting vilification of his own cops. He actually said that he wanted to pull the union leader off of the podium. I would have liked to have seen that happen. I would have liked to watch this mealy-mouthed chief try and pull this union leader off of the podium. And this isn't the first time that Art Avecito has shown his true colors. But he certainly showed them in big form this time. You see, this is what law enforcement officers are dealing with all over the country. Instead of strong leadership coming out in support, coming out in a way that the American public can get behind and understand what is taking place, law enforcement leadership is almost continually silent. There are associations of law enforcement leadership who have remained silent throughout almost all of the anti-law enforcement rhetoric that has been generated by the false claims of hands up, don't shoot, and continuing to this very day. And I guarantee you that the rank and file police officers in this country have stood up and took notice of this lack of leadership. Now, to be perfectly fair and perfectly honest, police chiefs are in a tough position. Police chiefs are appointed. And I think the average lifespan, when I say lifespan, I don't mean his mortal life, but his professional life, or her professional life, I think the average chief lasts about 2 years. Because if they get on the bad side of the politicians, of the mayors, of the city councils, they can be terminated. Not so with the sheriffs. Sheriffs are elected. Sheriffs can say whatever the hell they want to say, and until the next vote comes along, they can pretty much say whatever the hell they feel like. But what we're seeing is this mealy-mouthed response, or no response at all, when their own officers are being killed and injured. Now, there are a few outspoken chiefs and sheriffs. And those men and women who come out and don't pull their punches are those that garner the respect of not only their own officers, but police officers and deputies across the country. I wish the law enforcement leadership would stand up and take notice now that there is a siege taking place, that the war on cops actually exists, because unfortunately there are many that say it doesn't. And the war on cops isn't just the violence. It isn't just the attacks. It isn't just the physical violence. It's people who not only fail to cooperate, but are willing to confront law enforcement verbally on every instance. It's the politician who fails to understand that use of force is and always will be part of the police profession. It is the media who, instead of looking at all of the facts and reporting on them fairly, looks at 13 seconds of a video and then vilifies the law enforcement officers. It's the leadership who then responds to those media frenzies and, instead of fairly investigating, falls for the trap of these media witch hunts and then punishes the police. This is all part of the war on cops. It goes much deeper than just the violence, but it increases the violence. And until we as a nation stand up for our law enforcement officers, till we go to the voting box and, instead of putting in district attorneys and judges who clearly have an anti-law enforcement platform, until we vote them out and we vote people who believe in the law and justice in, we're going to continue to see this problem become exacerbated. We're going to continue to see law enforcement officers leaving. We're going to continue to see a failure to recruit. We are going to continue to see an incredible amount of post-traumatic stress affecting our law enforcement officers. You see, the violence and the war on cops has much more than just a physical response from our police officers. They, very similar to our veterans, often suffer from post-traumatic stress injury. And much of this injury, this post-traumatic stress injury, is caused not only by the physical traumas that they encounter and the psychological traumas that they encounter, but it is the reaction that they see coming from their own leadership, their own politicians, their own leaders. This is a silent epidemic, I can assure you. You aren't hearing anybody talking about it. But this is reality. And every cop that's listening to me now understands it. These men and women deserve leadership. They deserve strong leadership, both in the agency level and in the political level. Now, let me be very clear. There is, without a doubt, a time when officers need to be held responsible when they cross the line. And it happens. And when it does happen, those officers need to be disciplined and, in the proper cases, terminated. But those cases are so few and far between for such heinous conduct as what we have been exposed to that we fail to take into consideration that these men and women deserve justice. justice in the department level, justice in the judicial level. And until we start treating our officers like the human beings that they are, we're going to continue to see a degradation of the law enforcement community throughout these United States. And my friends, when that happens, this entire country is in jeopardy. Now is the time for unity. Now is the time when law enforcement needs to work together. Not just from department to department, not just local law enforcement with county and state working together with their federal partners, but for law enforcement leadership to join together with the men and women who are serving. Not become divided, but to become strong and whole. Now is the time when the American law enforcement officer must have the backing of their community, of their administration, and of the people that they serve. I want to take a moment and tell you about the books that I have written and are available on Amazon.com. My first three books were all law enforcement related, and they were stories. My first was True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them, followed by A Cop's Life, and then the third, True Blue to Protect and Serve. My latest book came out just in September. It's called The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. And this was an amazing book for me to put together. They are the stories of people throughout this country, people who have done amazing things with their lives, about who their personal heroes were and how they inspired them. This is a book that I hope will touch the lives of people all over this country. If you get a chance, check it out, Amazon.com. It is The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. I have a very special announcement to make. You have heard me make a few references over the last few weeks, and if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you might have noticed that these notices are becoming a little more frequent. I'm going to tell you about the Wounded Blue, the assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers. I've been working on this for more than 2 years. This is an organization that I wish didn't need to exist. But the fact is that when a police officer or law enforcement officer gets injured or disabled in the line of duty, very often they are abandoned and alone by their police agencies, by the people that they serve with, and by the communities. It's heartbreaking. We are creating this organization, which is going to launch officially during Police Week, May of this year. But right now, there's something very special I'm going to ask you to do. And that's going to go to look at the film trailer that is now on YouTube. We've created a feature film called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. We're going to be launching this film soon as well. But I would love for you to check out the trailer. So if you go to YouTube and then put in The Wounded Blue, you'll see the trailer. If you can donate, please do. Go to www.thewoundedblue.org. You can see what we're going to be offering, or you can see how we're going to be changing and protecting the lives of our injured and disabled law enforcement officers. I'm going to need your help. Go to thewoundedblue.org and check out the trailer on YouTube at The Wounded Blue. You'll be hearing much more about this incredible organization as time goes by. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's special episode. I hope that it shed a little light on the current events taking place in this country and the plight of the American law enforcement officer. You'll only hear it here on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I'm your host, Randy Sutton.